Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. Alongside with Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey as we'll talk Northwest Athletics for the next hour as the fall sports season is in full force now as football got underway to get things underway about a little over a week ago, but now we've got the rest of the sports are joining in and they've had a full week of activity coming up.
Yeah, we got to see Northwest Missouri State volleyball and soccer get things rolling. Of course, golf is currently in its second tournament of the year, and they had a really good first round there at the Battle of Bayside in Nebraska a little bit earlier. I guess that would have been yesterday, round two coming up today. Cross country got things rolling with the Platte River Rumble, and so we see tennis playing a little bit here and there too. So a lot of good things happening already here in the fall sports season.
And for the football team, a tough loss on the road to Kearney, Nebraska, when they lost to Nebraska Kearney. Just one of those games where things got off to a good start offensively, but Nebraska Kearney, I think, made a few adjustments defensively and kind of stopped Northwest on the offensive side, and just a tough 21-14 loss.
Yeah, a pair of drives in that first quarter, marching down the field heavily on the arm of Chris Ronke and a couple touchdown passes, and Northwest Missouri stayed up 14-7 with all zeros on the clock at the end of the first quarter. Unfortunately, that was the end of the scoring for Northwest, and, you know, the Bearcats have just they were one-dimensional in that football game, just had a hard time finding a way to establish a ground attack, and so that put a little bit more pressure on that quarterback. And at the same time, UNK has some good guys up front. Q Felton's one that we talked about a lot, an all-MIAA defender on that defensive line, and they were able to get some penetration and get after Runke a little bit. Despite that, though, still threw for over 300 yards, still had a good game passing-wise, and currently is the fifth leading passer in the nation with 579 yards through 2 weeks. So, again, we kind of want to see what he looked like early on. Playing well, it's just a matter of trying to find that ground attack and balance things out a little bit for this team to maybe take some of the pressure off of himself and those wide receivers. But and, of course, defensively, you're looking at it saying, well, you'd love to see a couple more stops. You only give up three scoring drives. But they were kind of in a difficult spot, too, of on the field quite a bit in that second half. And, excuse me, also going through and the victim of some difficult field position at times too. But you realize it really felt like they came out and played really, really well despite the second drive, I think, for Kearney going down for a score. A tough game, a tough loss. That was a big one for UNK to be able to beat Northwest on their home field and kind of start to head things in the right direction. They're 2-0 to start the season for the first time in a couple years. So, difficult for Northwest. It doesn't get any easier this week with Fort Hays State coming to town, who's a 2-0 team that's beaten a ranked Angelo squad and Missouri Western. And it's been, you know, a pretty even series between these two teams. 3-3 over the last six meetings between Northwest and Fort Hays State. And, you know, Chris Brown, Rich Wright, two really good coaches in the MIAA, two good defensive coaches. So this will be a fun one to kind of see how this one plays out on Saturday.
And important to remember, too, it's an evening game at Bearcat Stadium as well. Normally you see that tradition as far as the opening game of the season on a Thursday night at night, but then the rest of the schedule tends to go back to the afternoons. But we've got an evening matchup coming up on Saturday night.
And a bit of a historical one, too. That's according to Northwest AD Andy Peterson. We'll talk to AP and get this confirmed again. The first ever night game in the regular season on a Saturday night at Bearcat Stadium. So I know you said back at Rick and Broad back a long time ago they used to do that, but we've seen a few changes to Bearcat Stadium over the years. So the Bearcats back under the lights on a Saturday night, hoping to see a big crowd, military appreciation night as well. So get out and support the Bearcats. That's a big one. Obviously 0-2 to start. Fort Hays State is ranked for the first time since 2019. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Maybe this is that get-right game. Come out, punch the Tigers in the mouth, and see what happens.
Well, I do think there's a lot to build on with this football team. I know a lot of people following Bearcat football think maybe this guy's falling right now at 0-2, but they've got some talent on that team, and they're seeing some good things out of these first two games. It's just a matter of putting it all together.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that we can kind of go back to, too, is we know that these guys are working night and day to try to figure this out, and a lot of time in the film room, but also getting out in that practice field and trying to navigate some tough waters right now of a very uncharacteristic to be 0-2, the first time since 1995. But you're right, there's a lot of talent. You saw a step from that week one to week two game, and now you want to see another one here with Fort Hays State coming to town. And the Tigers aren't going to overlook the Bearcats because of their record, and I think at the same time, Maybe on the flip side, Northwest gets up a little bit more for this one because it's a Fort Hays State. It's under the lights. It's at home. So we've seen a good battle between these teams, and hopefully this does bring out the best in the Bearcats.
Yeah, let's hope so, too. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff, and we'll have that broadcast beginning at 5 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day again coming up on Saturday. Again, we got a lot coming up on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to Pizza Ranch on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. And we're talking now with the quarterback of the Bearcats, Chris Runke, a junior out of Platte City, Missouri, joining us. And Chris, good to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, let's just kind of talk over some numbers here. You followed up in the first couple of games here. Five touchdown passes, 579 yards rushing, which is, I believe, fifth in Division II, first in MIAA. Those were some pretty impressive stats for your first couple of games as the starter. I know you started one game last year and got some playing time, but as the guy this year, that's a pretty good start as far as the passing ball.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Felt good out there so far.
And let's just kind of talk about making that transition in as the starting quarterback this year and how that's gone for you.
It's been a lot of fun this offseason, just working, going against the starting defense, and a lot more responsibility, so a lot more film time, harder in the weight room, everything like that. But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really impressed me out of these first couple games, too, is there's been some significant pressure in the backfield for you on occasion, but you've stepped up there and handled that pressure really well, I think.
Yeah, I trust all those guys up front. I know we've played some tough D-line so far. Nebraska Kearney had some athletic guys. Minnesota State was really good D-line, so I know I have all trust in the world in those guys, and I know they'll keep me up.
Now, also, when you look at some of those passing numbers that we just talked about, you're also distributing the ball well to a lot of different wide receivers. I think eight different guys, on my count anyway, that you've been able to throw some completions to.
Yeah, they're all some playmakers. I just get them the ball and let them do all the run after the catch for me, make me look good. But, yeah, they're the ones getting open. I just got to get it to them. So they make it pretty easy on me.
Yeah, there you go. And I thought that one touchdown pass in particular last week to Atkins there in the back of the end zone, that was a nice play that developed for you.
Yeah, Zach's he's a good athlete, good tight end who can run better than most tight ends. So I like getting him the ball, letting him work in space.
As you look at the improvements you want to see this team make offensively, what are some of the biggest areas that you think right now that this team, obviously you look at one stat, running the ball and has been a little bit tough, but overall, what are some of the big keys for improvement on the offensive side?
Yeah, I think we got to find a way to get the run game going. I think that's all 11. It's not just the O-line and the running backs. We can work on some QB run game too, and then receivers blocking for them. So I'd say that's our main priority right now, and then just taking care of the ball. We've had a few too many turnovers both games, so just holding on to the ball, not giving it to the other team.
Well, you got another night game coming up this week after opening up under the lights. Just talk about playing under the lights at Bearcat Stadium and maybe the different type of atmosphere you have in a night game as opposed to a normal afternoon game at the stadium.
Yeah, it's a lot different of an atmosphere. Build up, there's a lot more anticipation. You know, you're waiting all day to play, whether those afternoon games, you kind of wake up and you're right into the routine, so a lot more anticipation. some reason, always seems like the crowd's a little more rowdy at those night games. And, yeah, they're a lot of fun, though. I love them.
All right. Well, sounds good there. And coming to Northwest Missouri State from Platte City, not a huge drive up this way. I'm sure you've been very familiar with Northwest Missouri State athletics growing up even. And just talk about what attracted you to come to Northwest Missouri State.
Growing up, I've always heard about Northwest, obviously, since I live so close. I saw all the tremendous success they've had, and so I just wanted to get up here and be a part of this awesome program.
And coming out of a program in high school that traditionally has been a very good program for football.
Yeah, I knew that was another thing. We won a lot of games in high school, and so I wanted to carry that over into college and go somewhere that I knew we'd be able to compete with anyone.
And let's just talk a little bit about what you like to do away from football a little bit. And there's one thing that, looking at your bio, that really strikes me is spike ball. Just explain a little bit what spike ball is and the reasons you enjoy doing spike ball.
Oh, I used to play it a lot in high school. I haven't played as much anymore, but it's like a net that you put on the ground. It's kind of like volleyball, except you have to hit it off the net. It's usually like 2-on-2, but once I've gotten to college, played a lot of golf, video games, like to watch movies.
If you talk about golf, I know in the last couple of years in particular, it seems like there's been a lot of competition just among the football players getting out to Mozingo, maybe in the summertime in particular, where you have maybe a little bit more time after
yep.
your workouts, and kind of there's, I guess, some serious competition between a lot of you guys.
Oh, yeah. During the summer, if you go out there any summer day, there's at least 4 or 5 football guys you'll see out there. And then at the end of the summer, it was pretty cool. We had a big football 2v2 scramble tournament, which was a lot of fun.
And how'd you do in that?
We got like 2nd or 3rd, but yeah.
Who's the best golfers on the team right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Wes Merriman, the center, is pretty solid. Jack Goge, left tackle, he's pretty good too. All the quarterbacks are pretty solid. We like to have competition within ourselves, but yeah.
All right, well, that sounds good there. And I know video games, something else that you enjoy a lot.
Yeah, I think everyone on the team's been, every time you go in the locker room during this season, they have the new NCAA game up on the TV. Everyone's playing, having fun with it. So
is that pretty much the video game of choice right now?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, and again, as far as academics go for you, too, I know that's something, MIAA Academic Honor Roll member. Let's talk about what you're studying and what you hope to do down the line.
I'm studying business management. I'll graduate this winter, actually, and start my master's next year.
All right. Well, it sounds good. And, Chris, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show, and look forward to watching you on Saturday night.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, Chris Gronke with us, the starting quarterback for the Bearcat football team. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, compassdentalgroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV Karen W. comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are talking Northwest Missouri State cross country. We've got Coach Whit Cunningham with us, as well as a sophomore from the men's team, Sam Shipp, and a freshman from the women's team, Reagan McGuire, as Northwest Missouri State opened things up with the Platte River Rumble last weekend in Ashland, Nebraska. As a team, the women finished 3rd, the men finishing 4th. And, Coach, we see 11 women and 18 men getting after it in the Platte River Rumble. A good contingency of Bearcats heading out and getting things rolling right away. What's your biggest takeaway from what you saw in meet number one?
Yeah, honestly, I think we had great pack running from both squads, which was super exciting to see. It's a lot easier to get out there and shuffle a little more when you got your teammates surrounding you. You look to the left and right, see more Bearcat jerseys, and you know, I was really encouraged by that early season.
All right, Sam Reagan, he said it's easy to do that suffering when you've got Bearcat jerseys around you. A couple things to take away. A, is that true? A little easier when you got a teammate next to you. And B, does it feel like suffering in the moment, or are you trying to find that happy place?
Yeah, I'll start. No, it definitely feels like suffering in the moment. It hurts the whole time, basically. But no, it's way easier when you have guys to chase. I mean, I've never really been on a team where I have a lot of guys in front of me, so this is just great this year. This experience has been great so far, and yeah.
Well, Reagan, do you find someone and attach yourself to that person? I know Coach Cunningham talks a lot about strategy and certain ways of going about pushing yourself, but do you sometimes go in and say, all right, that person, I'm just going to stick to them and don't let them pull away?
Yeah, definitely sometimes, but throughout the race, you kind of have to adapt your goal. I came in, like, on the start line, like, I'm going to run with this girl, and I thought that would push me. But then, like, quickly into the race, I realized we had different strategies. It wasn't her day, or I was having a great day. So I kind of had, like, adapt in the moment. And, yeah, I kind of, like, was finding people, clinging to them for a bit, let them push me. But if they weren't, like, working out for me anymore in the race, then you got to find your next person to push you.
Is that a small confidence boost if you're saying this person's going to push me, and all of a sudden you go by me, like, well, maybe that, not today?
I mean, it can be. I try not to let it, like, get to my head, because racing and running is so, like, everyone has their days. Everyone has bad days. But
Wick, with a season-opening meet like this, do you try to break it down into thirds, or how do you have your runners go out and approach something like this?
Yeah, it's really a matter of, I think that first K to 2K is just kind of establishing your position and learning that, being comfortable with, you're going through a little faster than you might be comfortable with, and just being comfortable with that uncertainty. The middle portion of race is usually the biggest challenging part for us, and I think the way I described it to everybody pretty much got a unanimous response is we're super strong aerobically right now, and you're just not going to have that extra gear yet at this time of the year. And we got to just be okay with that and know that there's a lot more coming our way. But just staying tough in the middle, and then I love seeing people just trying to outkick people at the end. That's always a lot of fun. That's competitiveness right there, and yeah, that's exciting.
That first K to 2K, you want them to go out and try to establish kind of a pace that they want to be at. It might be a little uncomfortable. Do you have that discussion, too, of not taking off too fast? And assume, is that just a personal thing they got to know?
Yeah, you know, you say that, and then the jitters, the nerves come, and it's going to be a little quick. But ultimately, yeah, it's just a, you know, race profiling throughout the year. Just take shape the more races you run. So the first race is really just kind of I try not to give too many instructions. I, you know, give them some guidance, but just kind of be like, sit back and observe, and then we can maybe make some corrections or adjustments moving forward.
We're talking Northwest Cross Country Bearcats coming off the Platte River Rumble last weekend. Sam, for you, personal best there in the 6K, I believe, 18:33. You finished 19th with a really good pace. Is that what you were hoping to do? Did you perform the way you expected?
Yeah, I mean, I've never ran a 6K before, but that was about the shape I thought I was in. I just wanted to run, go out and compete. You always have a little goal in mind. I wanted to run as close to like 18:15 as I could, and I think that was a really good spot to be for me to be in at this point in the year.
You talked about coming in and having some teammates that are all around you and the chance to run with some guys that are faster, but then you're also pulling some guys along too at the same time. How has it been for you kind of getting into Northwest Missouri State and building that camaraderie with your runners?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like I said, last year I didn't have many people to train with, but this year we have so many tight groups together that it just makes workouts go by so much easier, and the racing is the same. Like, you just hang on to someone and go with them, and they're going to make you better. So,
is that the same in practice? Talk about no one really to train with. If you've got other competitive people here at Northwest Missouri State, is that pulling you along here early in this season to where once we do get that chance for regionals and nationals, all of a sudden you can take that next step?
Oh, yeah. Like, the workouts have been great so far. You just, when you have a group of like six or seven guys all going at the same pace, like, it makes the pace you're running alone feel 10 times easier if you're running with six or seven guys. So,
Reagan, for you, first collegiate race period, correct?
Yes.
What are the nerves like going into that? Are there, I mean, Coach talked about jitters for that season opening race, career opening race. What were you like?
I tried to replace my jitters with excitement. I really wanted to go into the race just being excited. Like, you only have, that's like my first collegiate race. And I was like, I'm the freshman. I'm kind of like the underdog. I don't have to go prove myself. I mean, I'm going to do my best, but I'm not expecting to come out first. I was just excited to have a big team to race with and a big crowd. Like, coming from a really small school, it wasn't like that. So I kind of expected to run a much better time, actually having fast girls all around me. And so I was just kind of excited to get out there and see what I could do. And honestly, the race felt really fun, I think, because I tried really, really hard to not be nervous or scared, but be excited about what I could do.
You are right there with Mason Hartley, nearly identical times.
Yeah.
Did you anticipate you two having a close to the same finish?
Well, we're in the same workout group, and she is always pushing me. But she is a sophomore, so she has a lot more racing experience. So no, but also I really wasn't trying to come into the race with a lot of expectations. I'm like, this is my first time everything. I don't know what to expect. But I was like pleasantly surprised with myself for being with her.
With that kick, did you walk away and say, I left it all out there? Or is there a balancing act, too, of like, maybe I could have pushed a little bit further?
I feel like I left it all out there. I'm normally like, I'd say I'm more of like a track girl who's beginning to love cross country. So I feel like that was probably like one of my smartest races I've ever had. Like, I felt very consistent. And normally in my high school years, I'd be the one that's like kicking at the end. And it's like, why do you have that much energy at the end? But I felt like I had nothing at the end, and I was giving it my all. I was still trying to kick, but I was giving it my all.
Which I'm sure Coach Cunningham loved hearing that, too. Of, all right, we're running the smart race. We're balancing things out and leaving it all out there. Want to talk to Sam and Reagan individually about background, getting to Northwest Missouri State. But, Wick, if you could kind of start us. You're recruiting two athletes, strong runners to Northwest Missouri State with quite different backgrounds. Just what is it like bringing in people like this? What can you say about Sam and Reagan?
Yeah, so Reagan was really interesting. We were just talking about this. She was actually in Korea when I was recruiting her. Her father's in the military, does awesome stuff there. And I was like, oh, man, this girl's in Korea. There's no way she's coming to Missouri. And I almost like, I'm not going to mess with it, you know, wasting my time. And then I started talking to her. We got everything lined up to get on a call, 15-hour time difference, and I think we really hit it off, and so we continued that process, and it was super exciting to learn about her and what she's looking for, and just that excitement she had for running in general. And then Sam, on the other hand, had a whole different scenario. He was at Tusculum, and his coach decided to take another job, and it's June something, and he's looking for a new school. So pretty late in the process, but also one of those things we want to make sure he's feeling comfortable with the process. We don't want to rush anything to get him here, but we also, it's like, hey, you're someone we want on our team. This is, could be a good opportunity. You're from Missouri, come a little bit back to the Midwest. And I think the thing we really look for in all of our athletes is like running is super important to them, but more importantly, like they're here to have a holistic experience. And I think that really just shows up on the course and in both their lives.
Reagan, coach mentioning, you're in Korea, you're 15 hours apart, you're having this discussion. Your hometown's listed as Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of connect those dots? You mentioned your father being in the military, so that obviously some travel there, but what made Northwest Missouri State the right fit?
Well, I was in Junction City, Kansas before Korea, so it's, I mean, that wasn't like my main drive here, but it's just a positive of being here is a lot of my friends are very close, and I'm kind of familiar with the area, but it was still a new area, which I really like being in new areas. But really, like in the recruiting process, being overseas especially, I was like, I don't really have a dream location. Like, I'm just going to find the school that fits. And when you first messaged me, I was thinking like, oh, Midwest, like, but I just like really liked Wick immediately. He was like the only coach, he was like the only coach that really, I feel like cared to know me as a person and actually tried to work past the time difference. A lot of them were like, oh, that's a lot of work. And, like, we were struggling with it at first, trying to, like, set up times to call. But he didn't give up, and he was very interested. Like, I think that first call, we didn't even talk about running at all, and I really, like, admired that. Because I feel like a lot of coaches just all talk about running, like, oh, you run this PR, oh, you're in Korea, you move around a lot, you're going to get slower. I got told that so many times. Like, then when they asked about my team, it was a very small team. Korea is a very, very small country. Like the size, I think it's the same size as Indiana, the state. And track is not really a sport over there, so competition was very little. And yeah, coaches were just straight up like, "That's not going to be good for you." And I'm like, followed my dad. I don't know, but like I put in the work myself, and I feel like Wick could see that. And I also like that he stayed in touch after the first call. Many coaches just kind of like disappear. I point is I could see Wick was interested in me and like as a person and a runner, and I was interested in them. So it just kind of was like a clear choice, honestly, from the first call.
That paints a good picture for folks that don't know. Just like Wick, genuinely great guy.
Oh, yes.
But if you haven't looked at the record book at Northwest, check it out. He's a pretty impressive running back in the day, too. He's going to be humble and not say anything about that. That's fine. Sam, Coach mentioned that you're transferring. Coach leaves. It's June. You're looking for a spot. I can't imagine the anxiety of that moment of like, man, things are happening fast. I got to go. Talk about your journey here to Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, I took a risk going to Tusculum. I didn't really know much about the school. And it ended up working out great. I made a huge jump freshman year. And then first or second week of June, I get that call. My coach called me to talk about scholarship numbers, actually. And he just dropped that bomb on me. And I was like, yeah, I'm panicking. And I just took a step back. I was like, everything happens for a reason. I knew that I didn't love being 8 hours from home. So I was like, okay, I'm going to take this chance to probably get a little closer to home and also just find a program that is going to take me to the next level, because I wanted something a little more serious in terms of running. So I just started researching and looking for schools within a little closer radius, like 4 hours or so, that would take me to that next level. And I came across Northwest Missouri. I took a visit, and yeah, I really liked it. It felt like the right choice. So, and now I'm here.
And so from Arnold, Missouri.
Yeah.
Is that a little south of Kansas City? Is that right?
It's like 20 minutes from St. Louis.
Oh, man, I'm way off.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Archie. That's very different. Man, that's terrible. So from Arnold, when you come to Northwest Missouri State, did you have background on Northwest? Did you have an idea of who the Bearcats were prior to recruitment?
No, not at all, actually. I didn't hear about them until I started researching.
Hey, it all worked out, though, too. Northwest Missouri State cross country off and running with the Platte River Rumble over the weekend. Off this week, then the Roy Kriak Invitational in Minnesota and the Greeno Dirksen Invitational coming up that following weekend on a Friday and Saturday with no meet this weekend. Wick, I assume it's just hang back, not run too much right now, right?
No. You know us. We're putting a lot of work this week, taking advantage of an off week, and not every sport gets that, so we're really lucky to have that. Got some big workouts today. A lot of people nerves flying going into today's session, but that's fun. It's fun. We have a lot of fun with it, and it's a good time. And great week of training, and enjoying the off time, enjoying the free weekend. You don't get a lot of those in our sport.
Well, the Bearcats starting off strong. Women third, the men fourth in the Platte River Rumble again off this weekend, and then off to a couple meets that following weekend as well. Coach Sam Reagan, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us, and. I guess we'll be talking again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Northwest Missouri State's Wick Cunningham, cross-country coach, as well as Sam Shipp, a sophomore from the men's team, and Reagan McGuire from the women's team. We'll take a break. Back with more on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com. or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into Pizza Ranch here in Maryville. We're talking Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Volleyball on the Bearcat Coaches Show, joined by Northwest head coach Amy Wirth, as well as senior Abby Brunson. The Bearcats opened the season up last weekend in Sioux Falls, going 1-3, wrapping things up, a win over South Dakota Mines. Coach, 8 of 14 sets decided by 3 points or less, a lot of close volleyball. Do you feel like you're just a couple tweaks away of shift a couple things, and all of a sudden that weekend breaks a lot different?
Yeah, for us it was making two or three more plays. Bottom line, we made too many errors, so that bit us in the butt when it came to that piece. So we clean up those errors, and our win column looks a lot different.
Abby, is that a pretty easy one to kind of take, and then, all right, get what we need and push that weekend aside and just focus on this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, we talked a lot in the locker room afterward. Like, we can't let these we can't dwell on these losses very long. We need to learn from them and move on. And I think we took a lot out of the weekend that we're implementing this week in practice, so we can turn things around and hopefully get some more wins when we go down to Florida.
Coach, you talk about too many errors. Hitting percentage through four matches is 146. Is that just a blip and just kind of get into a rhythm between setter and your hitters, or how do you kind of see that?
It's a combination of both. The longer you go through the season, you swing out of the errors. So it takes time, which we're trying to speed up that time. It's a connection thing. It's how can we play more volleyball and have the right connection with knowing what each other are going to do. And listen, we changed the lineup a lot this weekend, and we don't know how to play with everyone yet. And that's just really the honest truth of it. And so it takes time for that piece. And we settled in on a system against South Dakota Mines that we feel like has potential to work, and we'll work on that. But we're still trying to find people that we feel like are going to mesh with us. And so we still have some growing pains, as you can say. And if we can get some of those errors out and understand situationally as a hitter when to swing away and when to live another day, I think we're going to get a lot further. So we'll clean up some of those errors and get us in a position that we can feel like what we're doing on the court is not, we don't have to be perfect to do it. We can make some errors and still win, but not as many as we are.
You know, you have the non-conference and a chance to kind of go through and sort through some of that stuff. Does it feel like it takes a few matches to be able to get that rhythm and get some of those lineups that you want in that spot? It's just, that's what you're looking for right now.
Yeah, that's where we are. If you like it or don't, like, that's just where you are, and that's what you have to accept where you are and work through what you need to work through. And I have a pretty good idea of what we need to work through this week, and we're going to start attacking it today and get after it and feel like they can make some mistakes and not have wins and losses on their shoulders, but get some confidence in their reps today.
Abby, you were named to the Augustana Classic All-Tournament Team. Career high 20 kills against South Dakota Mines. You were third in the MIAA in average kills per set at 3.64. Obviously, you'd like to have more wins, but individually, did that feel like, hey, this is the start I was looking for senior year, just from that perspective?
I mean, yeah, I have a lot of goals going into my senior year, but obviously I would rather win than I don't care about my individual stats as much as we're still losing. But I think it just goes to show, like, I wouldn't be able to get those kills without my setter, and especially being a middle, like, our passing has to be well for them to be able to set me, and I think that shows a lot. And then the bench telling me what's open position-wise, and Amy in my ear telling me what to do. So it's truly a team effort, and I hope we, if I can continue to play that well, like, in the future, that we can start adding some more wins in the column.
It's something to build off of, Coach, and kind of hearing what Abby's saying there. There's a lot more communication than just a setter and a hitter, or just you and her, but everybody's kind of going back and forth to make that happen. And obviously, she's a good example of when things do go well, how well things can turn out.
Yeah, we talk about developing each other, and our bench has a say in the game. And just because you may not be playing doesn't mean that you don't matter. You know, you do matter. You have a spot. And you can also give feedback to your positional group and understand that vibe can transfer. And so if our people on the court are struggling, then the vibe on the sideline can really bleed into what we're doing. And so I think they felt that this weekend. I know they did, because based on some of their comments that they made and some of the things they wrote down when I asked what they learned this weekend, I think they're getting that piece. For us, it's just continuing to practice with purpose, getting better than Florida Tech. You know, that's the first team that we're going to play, and how can we be better than them this week? And think through the opponents that we're playing and prepare, and but be better every single day. You know, if you're bad in a drill, don't feel like you did well, be better the next drill. So it's kind of that fast forward that we're trying to get through, but it these are the things that happen behind closed doors and behind the scenes that people don't see. It's a lot of challenging, it's a lot of frustration, it's a lot of mistakes, and then it's a lot of owning and getting better. And that's what our team is, they're good at doing it. From the standpoint of obviously making more mistakes than we want to make, we can clean that up and it'll look different for us. So excited to see that this weekend. Coachable players who want to get better, and I think that's a great combination to have for success.
We're talking Northwest Volleyball on the Bearcat Coaches Show with Head Coach Amy Wirth and Senior Abby Brunson as the Bearcats heading off to the Outback Invitational this weekend in Pensacola, Florida. As Coach mentioned, opening up with Florida Tech on Friday, then Wingate after that. Also on Friday, a couple matches on Saturday too, Spring Hill and West Florida. Coach, you did a nice job of scheduling a difficult non-conference as we look
Thank
at
you.
It. Three of these teams in the NCAA tournament a year ago, Wingate's receiving votes, West Florida's ranked. Two of those teams, 4-0, one's 3-1. This will be a difficult weekend, but ultimately a chance for Northwest to come out and, again, take that next step forward against some really good teams.
Pat, some administrators, along the line that have told me to schedule hard and win. And our conference is tough. I'm not going to go and just do walk in the parks. You know, I could find you can find all types of tournaments that you want to be in, and I feel like what is best for us in this conference is to be challenged, and what is best for us in this region is to be challenged. So we know no different. And so that's what we're doing. And, you know, our hope is regardless of the wins or losses, we're graceful in what we do and understand that we're going to get better and be patient, but push the edge of the envelope as quick as possible so that we can get some wins. But it makes you learn real fast. And like I said yesterday, when you win, you learn, and you lose, you learn. We're trying to be better learners in our gym, and we're trying to reflect a little bit more so we can learn along the way and apply those things. So, you know, those are the things that we're working on and hoping that, you know, people understand that we're working hard to get those things done and cheer us on when we have our first, you know, home match when we get there some point in September and get excited to be have conference going when that happens.
How much right now are you and Nick diving into Florida Tech and Wingate for that first? And, or how much is it just we're just going to worry about ourselves and take care of the rest?
I'm worrying about us. Nick's worrying about Florida Tech. We already have a scouting report done for majority of the teams that we're playing. I do believe it's great to acknowledge who we're playing and what we need to do, but we don't spend a ton of time doing those things. We spend more time thinking about us and preparing for us and what our offensive strategies need to be, our defensive strategies, and then keys to success. So those are some of the things that we really focus on. And but yes, we're aware of Florida Tech. We're aware of all the teams that we're playing, and we'll be ready to play them.
Abby, we see Northwest getting set for some tough competition. You're traveling a little to Florida, chance to get better, but this is a great college experience sort of trip, right? You're with your teammates and coaching staff. You're playing volleyball, but then also potentially get a little bit of time in Florida, maybe the beaches, that sort of thing too. How much do you kind of prioritize and I guess prioritize volleyball, but then also making sure there's a time to step aside and step away from homework and just enjoy the experience?
Yeah, I was talking to one of our other captains this weekend, and I was like, you know, even if we're not winning, this is like the closest group that I feel like we've had in a while. Like, we all get along really well. We all have like a lot of fun. This weekend we had a dance battle on the sidelines with South Dakota Mines. And like, you're not, at the end of the day, you're going to remember those moments and a trip to Florida, not really the X's and O's as much. And that's something that I'm focusing on my last year is like, this is my last year to play like a sport I love with the people I love. And it's something that I've taken for granted the past couple years. So, of course you want to win, but like, I think going to Florida, it's going to be really special to have like that quality time with each other to build a team culture.
Did Coach seal the deal to dance off?
No, it was during a challenge. So I don't serve. So I was handing people balls during serve and pass and just standing there, and South Dakota Mines bench was just staring at us. I was like, hey, could I possibly interest you in a dance-off first challenge?
And they That's were the like, most polite way to ask, too.
Yeah, I was like, I've never really asked for a dance-off before, so I didn't really know like the rules. And they were like, yeah, I think I could make that happen. I was like, okay, cool, see you first challenge. But I was in the first challenge. They were challenging my ball out. But then I look over, and freshman Chloe Hayes, who I said is going to be the one who kind of takes over your
mantle.
Was leading the dance off, and I really think we won. I didn't see the whole thing because Amy was telling me to focus, but from what I heard, we wasn't even a competition.
I'm hoping like the huddle cam shifted over and got the dance off instead of
it. Better of
that would have been good. Okay, Abby, last one for you too before we let you guys go. Senior year, you're doing some work off the court for Northwest Missouri State Volleyball and some social media aspects too. What are career plans? What do you want to do after Northwest?
Right now I'm planning on moving down to Arizona. I have family down there, and I want to go into event planning. The social media side of things is just kind of something that fell in my lap. Jackie Kaysen, our old assistant coach, didn't want to do it, and I was like a sophomore, and I was like, oh, sure, I'll do it. Like, I had like some classes that I had done it with, but then I ended up taking over our Instagram and our TikTok. Follow us on our TikTok. We went viral once. We're still struggling, though, to go back viral. Yeah.
You'll get it.
We will get it. We had to use the men's basketball team for clout. We made them play volleyball. I'm really working on getting admin to play volleyball next. I want Colin in one of our jerseys.
Colin needs to be in one of your jerseys. Yes. I'd like a picture of that, too. Coach, are you on TikTok?
I'm not.
I don't understand it, so I can't.
I'm not on it. My kids aren't old enough to have it yet, or at least we don't let them have it yet. So once they get older, I'll know more about TikTok. But I lean on them to have all of the TikTok master minds in there, up their sleeve, and they do a great job with it and think about how they can get more followers. And listen, it's one thing that I don't have to wear, so that's awesome as a hat, and they do a good job. So hats off to them, because I will give that over to them any day, because they do a great job.
Follow Bearcat Volleyball on TikTok and Instagram if you aren't already. Coach Abby, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Abby Brunson and Amy Wirth joining us from Northwest Missouri State Volleyball. The Bearcats off to Florida this weekend. They'll see Florida Tech and Wingate on Friday. We'll step aside. Back with more from Pizza Ranch on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Yeah. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch. Time now to talk tennis as the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State tennis team, Mark Rosewell, joins us, along with a player off of his women's team, and Laura Prieto Sierra. And Laura, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show, along with Mark.
Thank you.
Now, Mark, I understand that you're coming off a trip up to Sioux Falls this past weekend, competing in an event that was hosted by Augustana, and just tell us how that went for you.
It was a really nice tournament. They had a really nice facility, 12 courts there. We had three men's teams and three women's teams, us and Augustana, and Sioux Falls, another Division II team on the women, and then Augustana's men, and then Northwestern, I think that's Mel's school over there, played two rounds of singles and two rounds of doubles. Everything went pretty well.
Now, looking at your women's roster, and Laura here is, I think, one of the experienced players you've got coming back this year that's going to bring a lot to the courts this season.
Yeah, she actually was playing number one singles and doubles, and she won all four matches. Now, we won't talk about the last. were you down 3-0?
Yeah, it was the one.
And the girl turned ankle, but she got the win.
Right. You know, it doesn't matter how you get the win, right?
No, it does not.
It looks like a W in the box score. That's for sure.
But no, she played. She played outstanding.
So. All right. Lord, let's talk about your summer here. I understand that you had a chance to go back home again from Spain and you enjoyed the little bit of summertime in your home country there.
Yes, it was a nice summer. I had a chance to work with coach in the tennis camps here in June. And then whenever they finished, I went back home. So I stayed there for 2 months. I was practicing. We had nice weather. I have the beach close to me, so it was amazing. And then I had to play a couple tournaments to get some rhythm to come here train for the season. And, yeah, it was a great time. But now go back to work right now. Yeah.
I mentioned, too, you're coming in as a senior this year and one of the leaders on the team now. Just talk about maybe going into a role trying to help some of the newer players that are coming up through the program.
Yes. We have some new girls that they are all transfers, so we don't have any freshmen right now. But I feel that they know how college works already, so we don't have to tell them the basic stuff. But I'm really excited to get the team together every time we do better relationship between each other. And there's a good vibe in the team. I think they all work hard, which is very important. And, yeah, I think we can learn a lot from each other and do good this season. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark, your women's team coming off a good season last year, making it to the Division II tournament in the regional and win in that regional against Augustana. But just overall, as far as the women's squad this year, how things are looking?
Good. Like Laura said, we got three new players in, and they're all established players. We feel good about them. Their singles and their doubles both. Carol's not back yet, our number one player from last year, but she'll be back in the spring. She had surgery this summer. And we had one, Laura's roommate, turn her ankle this weekend on our team, actually, Marie, but she should be back, too. It wasn't anything serious, just a bad ankle sprain. But, you know, I mean, our women's team, we were in the top 20 all year last year, and finished, I think, 22nd in the nation. And we were literally, John, 1 point away from going to the national tournament on this one's match right here. And she played tremendous, you know, and couldn't play it any better. So, you know, I thought that was a really good year last year for them, and looking forward to this year.
Yeah, I thought you were a team last year, just real putting in some gutty performances throughout the entire season. You talked about Carol with her injury. She was playing pretty much injured the last part of the year and did a lot for you as well, and you just found a way to come up with some big wins a year ago.
Well, they were tough. You know, we had a couple injuries, and we were down to five players for a couple matches and still ended up winning. Those girls, they were really tough, and they were ready to play, and I really enjoyed the season.
Yeah, and Laura, from watching your team play from match to match here the last couple of years, too, one of the things that really strikes me is just how close everyone is as a team. I imagine that's something, you're working with some of the new players to bond and have that same kind of type of closeness that you've had in the past.
Yes, I think one of the good things is that we have people from all over the world. So we get to know another cultures, other type of persons, and we travel with the guys. So also the girls and the guys team are really close. We like to support them. They like to support us, which is very important, especially in the match away when they had all the fans there supporting. We get like our own teammates that can do way more. And yes, that bonding, I think, is really important. In the close matches is what it counts to get the win. Even not the level, not the quality, just that support from your teammates, and they know, just knowing that they are always going to support you. So I think it's very important, and we always try to work on it more. But yeah.
And what type of goals do you have for this upcoming year?
Well, I guess do similar like last year. I think we did pretty good, but I was the one losing that clinch in the match to go to nationals, which it really bothered me. So I think I learned a lot from that. And to close those matches, I had too much points up. So just doing good, having a good team environment, be able, of course, to go to regionals. And my goal will be to win regionals and be able to go to nationals. But, yeah.
As far as after you leave Northwest Missouri State again, a senior right now, what's the future for you look like right now?
Well, I'm a senior, but I was redshirted my freshman year, so I have one more year of eligibility, so I'm going to still play one extra year.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, whenever I'm done here, I'm looking forward to do a master's in my degree, and then after that, maybe work couple years here in the U.S., and then I want to go back home. Yes.
And what is your major right now?
I'm doing a double major in psychology and business. So, yeah.
All right. Well, sounds good. And, Mark, what's coming up this week for you?
Yeah, we're going to go against our nemesis Washburn over there. We've really developed a great rivalry. Of course, the Missouri-Kansas thing, too. And we're going to play men and women, and then we're going to have William Woods, is very good NAIA team, particularly on the men's side. And we're going to have kind of really pretty much the same format as we did last week with getting two singles and two doubles. We'll play over that Kosovo over there. It's a very nice facility, too. That's where we're going to have the men's ITA.
All right. Well, sounds good. Appreciate you having both of you on the program here today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. Again, been talking tennis with the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Tennis Teams in Mark Rosewell, along with the player off of his women's team in Laura Prieto Sierra. And we'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Millen Dinsdale Seed in Maryville and Oregon. Millen Dinsdale is proud to have former Bearcat offensive lineman Tanner Owen on the team as a crop specialist. To contact Tanner, Aaron, or the rest of the crew, MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on location or online at NVB.com. Member FDIC.
Support for KXCV Karen W comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Breakout Coaches Show. We wrap things up with the head coaches of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's basketball teams, and Matt Keeley along with Austin Meyer. So naturally, we're going to talk golf here on the show here. Austin's got his Titleist hat on, and I know I got a big fundraiser coming up this weekend with the Chip Strong Invitational. And I guess, first of all, Austin, just talk a little bit about this Invitational. You've been a part of this in the past, and what this means.
Yeah, 18th annual Chip Strong Memorial Golf Tournament in honor of memorial of Chip Strong. Allison Hoffman, Corey Hoffman have been Bearcat fans, donors, just really close to the program, work at the university. He passed away, and after that we just started the tournament and used the funds to obviously fundraise within the athletic department. But it's been a great event. A lot of former players, coaches, people that have played, year in and year out. And it's just a great event. We're excited about this year, and we got Coach Keeley on board, and we're kind of doing the tandem thing this year, and it's been good.
And Coach Keeley, just talk about your involvement with this and how much fun you've been having trying to get all this set up.
Yeah, well, it's been a lot of fun because Austin's done the heavy lifting on it. Yeah, so it's been really fun for us. But just kind of echoing what he said, and I think the most exciting thing for me is we've been tunnel visioned here for a couple weeks on this year's group, but getting able to get out and connect with some of the just supporters and former players and putting some names with faces that we've got to talk to this summer and all that, and just anytime you get a chance to welcome anyone in the program back, you certainly get excited about that. So that's the thing I'm most fired up about.
Yeah, and imagine right now as you look at this tournament coming up, let's just talk a bit about if somebody's thinking about being in this and haven't had an opportunity yet to register and everything, how can they go about it? Are there spots available for this?
Yeah, I mean, you can reach out to either one of us. You can go online right now. You can just Google Chip Strong Memorial Golf Tournament, and the 2024 registration link pops up. You can get on there, but if anybody has any questions, they can reach out to me. It's just my email's Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R, at nwmissouri.edu. We're not full right now. In the past, it's just been we just did one flight where we had 30 teams or so. This year, we have about 36 to 38 right now. We have a morning and an afternoon, so we have an 8 a.m. and a 1:30 p.m. Weather looks pretty good right now. I'm not a weatherman, but it looks pretty good on the forecast right now, and should be a good day. Like Matt talked about, just to get Matt out here and communicate and meet people. He's met a ton of people in the last couple months, but just to meet people. And we got a new, you know, assistant coach on staff with Coach Tucker, obviously his, Coach Keeley's whole staff. And so we've kept it really simple this year. You know, we don't have a ton of gimmick games and stuff like you see at a lot of the golf tournaments, which are always fun. But we've kept it really simple, and hopefully we can just we'll have our players out there, and so hopefully have a good day and have some fun.
I imagine from a couple of standpoints, this is a great event. Number one, a chance to connect, as you mentioned, with former players and people in the community as well. But also, as important, just the money raised from this going to your programs where you can do some things that maybe you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do by not having this tournament.
It's definitely an advantage, you know, and that's an advantage of you know, Northwest and the supporters and where we get stuff from on just how they come out and support us. But, you know, the whole weekend, you know, if you're still looking to come out, you know, we've got Spoof Hound football on Friday night, and we've got, obviously, the Bearcats playing on Saturday night against Hayes, and Coach and I are both going to have practices Saturday morning, and soccer team's in town on Sunday. So, you know, let's start the weekend with a little round of golf on Friday, and then just, you know, make Maryville the place to be this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And just what are some of the things that you do with the funds that are raised out of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, we all, obviously, budgets are always a challenge. And, you know, we're not K-State, Mizzou, Nebraska talking NIL and all this. So just, you know, from an operating budget standpoint, you know, we're big on just that college experience for the kids. It's not like that we're going and, you know, eating at crazy restaurants, but you don't want to have to eat off the dollar menu everywhere you go. And we want our kids to stay in decent places on the road. Obviously, the gear, practice uniforms, game uniforms. You know, we brought in 8 new kids, so, you know, we had to get new uniforms. We have a big roster. So it just goes into pretty much everything. You know, our shootaways, our kids wear those things out every day in the gym shooting on those. You know, we have a couple of those. And the Booster Club has helped with that in the past, too. So just to, you know, pretty much covers everything we do within our program.
I imagine, Matt, on your side of things, pretty much the same type of thing there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, gear is something that you can motivate guys with a long ways. They're always looking for another Bearcat T-shirt or sweatshirt or something like that. And so, yeah, just making them feel like, man, they're valued guys. And like Austin said, you know, not going extreme on it, but absolutely giving them an experience where they have some pride in the program and pride in the university, and they feel we obviously share with them too where that comes from. They don't take it for granted, and both groups are a humble and a thankful and gracious group that we always you know, want to talk to them about. But how cool is that to be able to share with this year's group that, you know, that has been handed down from either other former Bearcats and alumni or people in the community, and you know, those people that believe in them, and some of the people that are in the crowd and cheering for them and all that stuff, and are directly contributors to this program, which is pretty neat.
I know a lot of work's going into making sure that this weekend's golf tournament goes off as well as you want, but you look down the line here, it's not going to be too long before you get ready to roll for another season.
Yeah, you know, with it being an election year, there's a countdown, you know, to how many days until election, and I know that we play 6 days after that. So every time I see one of those countdowns, you know, my chest hurts just a little bit more, and it reminds me, you know, that we've got to get back after it in the gym, you know, either that day or the next day. But certainly a little bit unknown with our group, you know, with the roster rolling over. But we're off to a great start with, you know, Joe Q there in the weight room in the morning, and we've been on the floor together as a group a few times, you know, some things that are staying the same for sure. We want to definitely embrace with that we've inherited, and a few new look things that'll be out there as well.
Well, you talk about Joe Q in the weight room. We were talking a little bit earlier. I know not only with the players going through that, saw you down there yesterday going through, so you kind of got an idea of what the players are going through with his workouts.
Yeah, I'm a little sore today. He doesn't mess around, that's right. And he'd been giving me a hard time and trying to either find a way to get me down there and get myself back in shape and all that stuff. He finally found the ticket by, you know, telling me, like, yeah, my wife has been working out with his wife, you know, 3 or 4 times, and you know, I better be careful. So a little bit of a competitive spirit there between inside of our own household.
Don't fool the people, John. You've been in that weight room too. So,
well, I have been, but I don't think I'm not going through Joe Q's program. So, but Joey's put me through a pretty hard workout as well. So,
yeah, we talked about the other day. Just Joe Q's been in the department for so long, and he's obviously had a chance to go take other big jobs, and he could be, you know, a strength coach anywhere in the country right now. But he loves Northwest and the family feel and the environment. But I'm glad we haven't gotten a bill over the years for he could charge us for those workouts he does. So I'm thankful for that, even though I haven't. He'd tell me I haven't done enough of them over the last few years.
Well, we're talking about Joey Fredrickson, who I've been working out with. He's working out with your girls, and I understand that he's got them going right now.
Yeah, he's done a good job, young guy. And, you know, we had Matt Wendelberger, who did a great job for our program and other programs within the department. And, Joey's fit in really well early, and, yeah, just glad to have him aboard.
Well, one thing real quick before we let you go, again, a reminder on how people can be involved with the Chip Strong Memorial Tournament this weekend.
Yeah, just reach out to me by email, meyer@nwmissouri.edu, or you can go online, Chip Strong Memorial Golf Tournament, or you can just show up. You know, bring some friends and show up. We'll find a spot for you on the course. We'll make it happen.
All right, sounds good. It's been great to have both of you on the program here today.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Again, that is Austin Meyer, head coach of the Northwest Women's Basketball Program, along with Matt Keeley, the head coach of the Bearcat Men's Basketball Team. Again, the Chip Strong Memorial Golf Tournament coming up on Friday at the Mazingo Lake Golf Course. My thanks to everyone involved with our program. You're listening to AM. You're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. For Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and so long from Pizza Ranch.